One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. We are back after, 3 weeks? 2 weeks without a live stream, that's for sure. But, you know, it's been like, 3 weeks because of that, how time works. We missed the Thursday where they're doing the presidential debate because, you know, first of all, I was also traveling all last week. And then last week was also 4th of July. So those were two Thursdays that we missed, but we are now back on our normal Thursday night schedule. It is good to be back. I don't feel in the groove quite yet. I don't know if you're in the groove or you ever left the groove or had a groove, but, you know, good to be back, right?
Yeah, it's been a pretty good day. A lot of jokes to be had in the Twitter sphere.
I mean, it's been a pretty fun time, I guess, on social media these days. I made a lot of people angry by suggesting, you know, that people who beat up criminals, you know, shouldn't actually be prosecuted. And it's like, you know, people who defend their property is like, no, it's like, no, they shouldn't be prosecuted at all. They're basically being Batman in a sense. We have a good show for you tonight. We are going to talk a little bit Christian nationalism, a lot of bit Jordan Peterson and Michaela Peterson. And we've talked about Michaela Peterson in the past. I'm pretty sure we've done a live stream on both of them separately.
Yes, we did the Michaela Peterson on John McCrae. It was basically, is Christianity a philosophy or a religion?
Okay, and in that video, it's like, wow, she sounds so vacuous and disinterested in Christianity. It does not sound like she's genuinely curious. It doesn't sound like she's genuinely seeking or anything. And it's not like she, you know, she goes to Mark Driscoll's church, as far as I know, which she could do a lot worse, for sure. So I don't really think there's an excuse for her to be so apathetic towards Christianity in that regard, but there's still a lot of people that, you know, grew up in liberal churches, but then continue the faith in much more conservative faith traditions and are very enthusiastic. I was just recalling a story about that earlier today, but nonetheless, I forget who the big name that I'm talking about is. So that said, and then we're going to talk about some miscellaneous things. I do have meme reviews set up and I've been compiling a bunch of memes all June and now July long for us to review on a live stream. And, you know, bookmarks is an excellent feature on Twitter, by the way. So we're going to go through those bookmarked memes for this occasion. A lot of white boy summer memes and some recent stuff as well. So, but first I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over to evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. That's linked in the description below. And we also have a free newsletter. As far as Patreon-like system goes, the Zealot and Peacemaker tiers get a free copy of my upcoming book, Winning Not Winsome, which here's the update on that, by the way. We are at the stage now where I'm the one who, the ball's back in my court now, and I'm going through. We are making the last edits on the book. I have, like, you know, X amount of minor edits I can make before it goes into full print, but I have seen the inside of the book. I have seen the outside of the book. The inside of the book's pretty interesting. It uses Roman numerals for page numbers. So I guess we're returning to tradition. And by returning to tradition, we are spelling that with a V. So it's going to stand out for that reason. And you know what? I'm not going to complain about that. I think they did a good job by me regarding the aesthetics go. So that's the latest update on the book. I wanted to circle back first thing to the video I did about Al Mohler and Doug Wilson and Christian nationalism. I want to talk about that first. So those two, because I made this point in the article, but I'm not entirely sure how clear it came across in the video. So in the article, I concluded by saying that Al Mohler and Doug Wilson are at best good onboarding content to get normies on board with Christian nationalism. But I do think that it has to end there for them. They have subversive elements in their theology that cannot become accepted in Christian nationalism. Because at the end of the day, Christian nationalism is not Judeo-Christian nationalism. And I think that's going to be a key theme in tonight's video talking about Jordan Peterson. So that's kind of where I wanted to leave off on that. I don't know if you had anything you wanted to add to the whole conversation about the Al Mohler, Doug Wilson.
I mean, it is just weird because I'm pretty sure Al Mohler was historic pre-mill. He's not like Dispy pre-mill, but nevertheless. Doug Wilson is kind of almost a case study. I mean, I've called him a theological pioneer in the past. And again, that does hold true with, you know, his thoughts on Jews and supersessionism or soft supersessionism or soft dispensationalism, however you want to characterize it. But he is a theological pioneer. And, you know, I don't know who their audience or who their reach necessarily is, because, I mean, Arne McIntyre is the boomer whisperer at the Blaze. But I don't necessarily know whether I'd call Al Mohler the boomer whisperer or Doug Wilson the boomer whisperer. But Doug Wilson does have the benefit of being able to get onto like major platforms.
As is Al Mohler, and that's why they're on that platform in the first place. Although, you know, Christian nationalist Tymon Klein was there too. So I guess they were a little bit more lenient with who... You know, I guess the barriers to entry was lower for that, for NatCon 4. So I guess it's time to dive into the Jordan Peterson thing. So let's kind of dive in. These will be loosely in chronological order, I think. So let me pull up what it is that started it. And it was this right here. Let me just go back. So it was this tweet right here. And it talks about Jewish contributions by Dr. Anastasia Maria Lupus, who's half Viking, half philosopher of the Greek variety, doctor of medicine. Opinions are her own. And she talks about four various... technically, two of them are porn sites. The other two are hookup sites. But OnlyFans, Pornhub, Tinder, and Grindr, and how all four of these companies are owned or
owned by Jews. It also has Bumble in the tweet.
It has Bumble in the tweet. Okay. So that is some noticing there. And she's not the first person to ask. Dr. Lupus is not the first person to ask why a rabbi owns a major porn site.
It should be noted that she said who owns OnlyFans, not who founded OnlyFans, because Leonid Radovinsky, right? He's a Ukrainian who bought OnlyFans.
I thought it was Canadian.
But the long story short is OnlyFans actually was a Patreon competitor in its founding, and then that dude buys it. and basically turned it into a hardcore, you know, democratized pornography.
Right, because they were a Patreon-like system.
Yes, they were. You could have cooking videos on OnlyFans.
And if you look at the Twitter account of OnlyFans, they advertise everything but what they're actually known for. And I don't know about you, but I kind of have a theory about OnlyFans and that it's mainly like Indians who are subsidizing it. Do you think I'm wrong about that?
Look, I mean, there's a lot of people that'll say like a lot of these manosphere types and a lot of these guys out there that act like it's young men, like men under 30 that are subsidizing these whores and their lifestyles. No, it's it could be Indian. It could be Arab. And a lot of it might be like grown men. Like we're talking like 50-year-old dudes. But a lot of time people harp on the young guys being simps when it's not them.
Yeah, like, I mean, I had heard that. So there was a mom that went viral because she was mad at the school system for making her come and leave her OnlyFans job to pick up her kid that was throwing up in school. And it was like 11 to 1 p.m. It's like, that's peak hours on OnlyFans. It's like, well, why is that peak hours on OnlyFans? Well, what is that prime time? What part of the world is that prime time for? And it's like India and then, you know, like East Saudi Arabia, Dubai area, I guess. So it's like, okay, well, that might explain a lot, actually. But anyway, Michaela Peterson did not take kindly to this amount of noticing. She says, I cannot believe I'm seeing Nazis in my timeline that didn't grow up in a cave. She's an MD, spewing cherry-picked data while completely ignoring facts like almost 30% of Nobel Peace Prize winners are Jews. Maybe there does need to be some more content moderation, Elon Musk. And fun fact about Elon Musk, I feel like you have to be, you know, the number one common denominator in Elon Musk interacting with you is actually being Jewish, by the way. Just a fun fact, like the libs of TikTok, you know, you can just go through accounts that Elon Musk follows. It's like bizarre. But anyway, we're talking about a lot of coincidences tonight. But either way, Michaela Peterson took issue with that. And let's just talk about the Nobel Peace Prize for a minute. Is like,
oh, it was Peace Prize, not just Nobel Prizes.
Yeah, Peace Prize.
No.
Which is like, come on. The most ridiculously awarded prize in the Nobel Prize system is the Peace Prize. I mean, they even gave it to people who made an effort for peace that, you know, I believe the people that when Colombia had the referendum on the FARC peace deal, like the people who were behind that deal won a prize, even though the country rejected the terms. And then Barack Obama won the Peace Prize. Donald Trump did not win the Peace Prize. As far as I know, Jared Kushner, who actually is Jewish and might have been deserving of a Peace Prize, did not win a Peace Prize. So, not exact. Like that's her rebuttal, is the, you know, the disconnect. And by the way, between OnlyFans and, you know, Pornhub, there is so much more data on the connection between, you know, Judaism, Talmudic Judaism, and pornography. Like that's just a drop in the bucket. I mean, those are the two most prime examples, the two most pop culture examples. And if you look at like the, you know, the top 20 websites in the world, like, you know, those types of things are all over it. But
oh, wait till you figure out which media companies were promoting the Hawk to a girl. Barstool Sports was one of them. But yeah, there's something there. There's something about who founded those companies. It's like, oh, why are they promoting Hawk Tua? And now you got a bunch of white women out there trying to be the next Hawk Tua.
Man, you know what's weird is that the people on the Evangelical Dark Web newsletter, which you should sign up for, by the way, really love the Hawk Tua articles. I just thought that was pretty interesting. Like, wow, I'm going to write an article about Andy Stanley. I'm going to write an article about Hawk Tua. Guess which one gets more clicks from the newsletter? I find these things funny because, you know, it surprises me. I can actually be surprised by my audience. So Michaela Peterson took issue with that. This is just the beginning of her thread, and I believe she deleted part of her thread. to clarify, I'm not pro-censorship, but unfortunately the dregs of society are going to take over this platform because they have nothing better to do. It's not like successful Jewish people are here to fight back against the hate because they actually have something to do. My feed is full of Nazis and misogynistic losers. I got to pause right there. Michaela Peterson is famous for what reason?
Not being her father's daughter.
Okay, but why do people watch Michaela Peterson?
Oh, relatively attractive.
Is it because of her personality?
No, but...
is it because they like silicone?
Maybe.
I think completely. By the way, I just want to remind everyone to smash the like button. And by the way, we'll be interacting with some chat tonight. This is a fun show, so we'll interact with some chat. Going back to Michaela Peterson's thread, let me see if I can zoom in more. So I don't think it says anything about Elon, and it would be nice if there was a platform without censorship that the losers of society didn't just overtake. But they have nothing better to do. They're going to. There's more of them than halfway intelligent people. Halfway is intelligent? Okay. You can't be commenting on intelligence and have a grammatical error in your sentence like that. So how do you fix that? Serious question. So she did delete a pro-censorship tweet, I believe. Or something about I'm not backing down. She deleted a tweet somewhere in this thread. And then this is like the clarification that came out afterwards. So that is the initial thread. And I believe this is the origin of all of the controversy ensuing Jordan Peterson and Michaela Peterson. Is that correct? Is there any other controversy involving them? Or is there any other impetus for this?
I mean, not to my knowledge, other than their past history of Jordan Peterson obviously going out against the Anons, which is just beyond stupidity. And that's been a mark against him for probably, I think, a year by now, considering how long he has been against, he spoke against the Anon accounts. And maybe he has been lashing out more at the Groypers, but I don't know if that blew up anything or if that's just escalated since the Michaela Peterson stuff.
So then we got Nick Fuentes in the story, and look, y'all maybe know how I feel about Nick Fuentes. I'm not like a fan. I'm not a hater either. I'm just, I operate in the evangelical world. And he maybe is homosexual. So I just kind of like keep my distance for that reason. And then he also wants to replace Protestants in America with, Catholics and stuff like that. So I don't really see him as really America first if you're anti-Protestant, because this was a Protestant country and it was founded to be a Protestant country. So Jordan Peterson called him a rat, apparently. And Jordan Peterson has been tweeting in poetry lately, and which I guess is an upgrade from continuously crying all the time. Rats are just animals. I apologize to you for calling you a rat. Rats are just animals. They happen to be an enemy of mankind. So they are like you in that regard, but they are merely acting on instinct, whereas you are motivated by a willful ignorance so deep that it is kind of a miracle in combination with a profound malevolence. So I was unfair to the rats, hence my apology. Take note. And I guess he had to tag his daughter in this because, they're tag teaming. So this is
No, there is a theory that she legitimately is running his account. Or has run his account in the past, so it might not even be him.
So this is a video of Michaela Peterson. As you can see, a lot of silicone in here, and this isn't even all the silicone, but there's a lot of silicone in here. Here we go.
Anyway, Nick Fuentes, I don't know, because I don't care, a well-known anti-Semitic boy went after me along with his thousands of anti-Semitic followers because I said that people who use the hashtag filth or rats when referring to an entire nation of people should be censored. Like I said, this was after I got attacked for retweeting a medical doctor who had the original anti-Semitic post, retweeting it in a negative way. Again, I meant these people's content shouldn't be pushed by the algorithm. I shouldn't have said censored. And Nick Fuentes responds with, you know, your dad called me a rat. And I would like to clarify, I think calling individuals rats or whatever is fine, particularly if they are rat-like. I think it's different when you're referring to an entire nation of people as rats that have been subject to, say, Hitler less than 100 years ago, when the Nazis of the 1930s also referred to those people as rats as a tactic to breed disgust. So yeah, I think referring to Jews as rats is completely different than referring to Nick Fuentes as a rat. And if you can't understand the differentiation, I can't help. Social media really allows views to propagate unnaturally. If some of these anti-Semitic tweets were spoken in an ordinary public setting, the individual would be being punched. But then these views grow and their followers go out into public thinking everyone agrees with that view. I don't think freedom of speech is the same thing as being pushed by an algorithm. I shouldn't have to go on TikTok to hide propaganda pushed by the Chinese government, and I don't want to go on X to hide Nazi posts from my feed. Nothing against Elon here. I think there are bots or fake accounts behind a lot of this, and possibly funding from Iran, and I know he's trying to get that under control.
So I think the last part might be true of Nick Fuentes, but Nick Fuentes isn't exactly the originator of noticing. I mean, I think he's largely benefited from it, that's for sure. But you know, how much of his audience is actually white dudes?
That is
certainly subject of debate, right?
I'm just wondering, if you touted the fact that all those dating app sites and porn sites were a positive, like, contribution to society, would that have been, like, perceived as a insult by Michaela Peterson? You know, it's kind of like you're allowed to talk about it if it's a good thing, but you're not allowed to talk about it if it's a bad thing, right?
I mean, Doug Wilson, to his credit, at least tries to nuance it, at least tries to actually do that.
Now, on to the individual versus the group. Okay. There was a guy that came out of a sewer in New York City during a police raid of a Shabbat temple. Now, can that guy, under any circumstances, be described as a rat? For literally, not figuratively, but literally coming out of a sewer?
That is a good question. So,
A Jewish individual so happens to be acting like a rat, are we allowed to call them a rat?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So Andrew Torba has also been targeted by Jordan Peterson. You know, every time they call us every name in the book, but they never call us liars. And, you know, Jordan Peterson responded in bad poetry.
Anyway,
maybe I should call it prose, not poetry, called Andrew Torba a liar that doesn't even believe his own lies, which if there's one thing about Torba is he believes what he's saying. I really like Andrew Torba, I got a lot of respect for Andrew Torba, and I think Andrew Torba is one of the sharper political minds that you see on social media, in my opinion, in the Christian space. Like, he's reasonably pessimistic, doesn't really care about the election as much. I can relate to that. I'll forgive you for bearing false witness against me, Jordan, just as Christ will forgive you for selling out to the Jews like modern day Judas, if you only repent and turn to him. And that's Andrew Torba's response to Jordan Peterson's bizarre poem. Moving on, we have more of this. We have, let's see. So some more context. Funny, back in 2016, 2017, Jordan Peterson said the trans debacle was going to lead to a resurgence in right-wing fascism. And here we are, right again. Scary how he does that. Your take on that? Jordan Peterson.
I mean, we should first start off by saying that these people believe that right-wing fascism is worse than tranny madness. And I think that is the underlying claim that's being made, is that this stuff is going to lead to something even worse, and it's going to come from the right. Which, again, please prove to me that right-wing fascism, whatever that even is worse than tranny madness. I mean, if you actually read the Fascist Manifesto by Benito Mussolini, he actually talks about, like, if you actually look at his vision, it's actually pretty positive. Like, he's talking about being fit and, you know, things being beautiful. So, I mean, obviously he's trying to sell a lot of things, but
hey, the thing about Mussolini is, like, nobody liked him, including the other people that would be fascistic. Like, I don't believe Francisco Franco liked Mussolini, and I don't believe Adolf Hitler liked Mussolini at all. I don't think anybody liked Mussolini.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't necessarily a renowned military leader, but as far as a lot of the fascist policies, like natalism is a component of fascism that, you know, is certainly not a component of liberalism, nor is it a component of communism. So again, I mean, please prove to me that this so-called right-wing fascism, again, whatever that even is actually worse than tranny madness. Because that's actually her belief. That's actually what she's saying.
So Jacob says, I'm reformed. I've been Gab. I've been watching Nick since 2018. We would do well to push in this direction. I guess that's the direction of the noticing, is what I take it. So one thing I'll say about Jordan Peterson, the trans thing, is he took a very uncourageous stand back in the day. Like, his stand, remember, Jordan Peterson is famous for saying, I will not be made to use preferred pronouns, but if you ask me to, I will. And that was considered a bold stand in 2016, because people in media spaces aren't willing to elevate based content. They weren't willing to elevate based content. So they elevated a lot of liberals who left the left. And that's kind of where Jordan Peterson has made his bread and butter. And then he became a self-help author for men. He is the Oprah for men. Yeah, Is there a better comparison to that?
And then he sells out to the Daily Wire or the Israeli Wire. And he's noticeably silent on certain questions. And it's ironic. No,
he's not silent. He takes a strong position.
Well, I remember he's a fan of, like, I want to say Solzhenitsyn, but he's not going to talk about one of the books that guy wrote, which, because it would, you know, it would conflict with his overlord, so to speak.
So you have the whole thing with him calling Nick Fuentes a rat. Again, I'll let Nick stand up for himself. I'm sure he's already done that, but this tweet I found interesting by Jordan Peterson, hence I wanted to bookmark it. He's responding to personality disorder research and the social decontextualization, what it means to be a minoritized human. I kept wanting to say marginalized, but that is not what it was saying. As clinical psychology becomes further divorced from its culturally Christian roots, it will become increasingly degenerate and insane, as is happening with ever greater rapidity right now It's inevitable. Young, referring to Carl Jung, predicted that decades ago. Now, is anything in his tweet accurate at all?
I mean, clinical psychology, I mean, you could argue is never tethered to Christian roots. But I mean, it's still...
It was never tethered. There's nothing Christian... There are no Christian roots to psychology.
I mean, you could make the argument that something like homosexuality originally being seen as a deviancy and a mental issue, that being stripped from the DSM is a divorce, a component of a divorce from cultural Christianity. I mean, you could look at it like that.
Freud is a who's by the way Jewish, is a celebrated figure in psychology.
Yeah, I'm not saying psychology.
He's the granddaddy of psychoanalysis.
I'm not saying psychology has any Christian roots, but certain things that were considered certain behaviors that were considered degenerate are not being seen as degenerate, and that is because as society degenerates, which often comes from the academia, world of academia, and the psychologists, they're the ones pushing it.
And it's been covered. It's interesting how a commenter brought up Will Spencer. But Will Spencer did that whole thing about, he's done a lot of content on people like Carl Jung. And Jordan Peterson is a Jung follower. He's a disciple of Carl Jung. And again, that guy wasn't Christian.
He was supposedly Satanist. And that's where we get, I want to say either Myers-Briggs or or maybe it's Enneagram, or it's one of the personality tests.
I don't think it's Enneagram.
Has a root in him. Is rooted in his philosophy.
But again, John Money died a celebrated figure in psychology in 2006. I know that because I wrote in my book, and I've been. If my voice sounds strained at all tonight, or if it's going to be strained by the end of this live stream, it's because I'm reading my book out loud as I'm doing the final edits, the final little edits before it goes into production. So I'm really hoping I catch any typos, which I kind of wonder at this point, why did I hire an editor? But maybe it's just, you know, it's you know, they can't catch everything. Even the robots can't catch everything. Stuff like that. Abby asks, liking this show, what do you guys think of Will Spencer pulling his 6.5-hour Stone Choir podcast last minute? I wrote something on that, by the way, but it is going to be a paywall article. So that's one of the reasons to sign up. I wrote that. To me, it's a little bit hotter. I will say something is like I floated the idea of having Stone Choir on here. I've talked to Treble Woe. We have a cordial relationship. I've never talked to Corey Mahler, though. But that being said, I floated this idea. I don't understand Will Spencer and why he pulled that. Just saying. I don't get it because the screenshots that he posted were also tweets. So, but that's not why it's a paywall article. I guess I get into more personal thoughts, but
I mean, within the realm of podcasts, just being associated with Corey Mahler is like the most controversial thing.
The most controversial.
You will get kicked out of your denomination if you are associated or even promote or even said that you listen to one
episode. You are not allowed to be friends with them.
Like, if you even mention his name, you will be kicked out of your denomination.
Yeah, so it is a struggle. Let's see. Did you see the bizarre quote from his new book with the bizarre dream he had about his grandmother? It is disgusting. I kind of don't want to know, but definitely tell me in the comment section what it was. Continue in the chat. So, I just thought, again, Jordan Peterson is a disciple of Jung. And just more of my thoughts on Jordan Peterson. This guy is very far from the kingdom of God. Like, every time I hear him talk, you know, about God and about, you know, his wife converting to Catholicism, I'm not going to get into Catholicism right now, but his reaction to that was just so bizarre and distant. It's like this guy is so far from the kingdom of God. Then he's also started, you know, doing a lot of Bible teaching and stuff like that. And, you know, there's the famous video where he doesn't know what, you know, do you believe in God? And he wants to say, you know, we don't really know what that means, which I'm sure I'll play that video tonight. It's like, no, we know exactly what that means. Everyone knows exactly what that question means, except for you.
Well, that's, because, I mean, I know I wrote about that in the past, that that's the Pharisees. That's the question of Jesus posed to the Pharisees, where the Pharisees are like, if we say that his power, if we say that John's power comes from God, then we'll be asked, why didn't we believe him? But if we say that it does not, then the people will revolt. So we must, so they turn around and say, we don't know whose power John the Baptist came from. It's that, I want to say it's Matthew 22, but it's that text, which Jordan Peterson embodied in that question. Because if he answers the question, then he gets labeled into either the religious nuts by the atheists, or he, I guess the, a lot of the Christians would abandon him if he said he didn't believe in God, because they would have thought the dog and pony show.
I don't know. Not a lot of Christians abandoned James Lindsay, even though he still hates Christianity.
Well, but how many would if they, he wasn't astroturfed? I guess that's,
let's see. Actually, buddy, the Judeo-Christian ethos is a sacrifice, Jordan says in his weird poetry. Sacrifice, ethos of sacrifice and trust, built the middle class. The Industrial Revolution built the middle class. Free markets built the middle class. Henry Ford built the middle class. Man, what did Henry Ford say about the international race?
What did he? Didn't he get sued for trying to pay his workers a fair wage? And the bankers, interpret that how you will, were the ones that sued him, and he lost, and Henry Ford lost.
Really?
Yeah, that's the story. He lost trying to pay, because he wanted to pay his workers a fair wage. And it's because of Henry Ford we have a 40-hour work week and not like a 60-hour work week.
Oh, like that's good news.
That was him that standardized that.
Yeah, he made that pretty popular. Hard work built the middle class. Private property built the middle class. Again, there is no Judeo-Christian ethos. That is a term that was invented in the 20th century.
I mean, there's a lot of historical. And, there is a lot of historical ignorance. Like we try to whitewash just how bad the Industrial Revolution was for the average person, especially if you were a factory worker. I mean, when they compare like the slave on a plantation owner in antebellum South to the factory worker in the North, and that the slave had a better quality of life, that is true. And, you know, even now, like employers don't care about their employees to the same extent that the slaves would have, or the masters would have cared about their slaves, or a feudal lord would have cared about their serfs. Like there is a patronage network, like, or when you have societal class and societal structure, there is like a flow of duties and obligations, kind of like,
yeah, that doesn't exist in the current career employer employee.
Yeah. Because of the Industrial Revolution, you know, people became employees became numbers, and they're just commodities for their labor. And that's why there became a demand for Social Security, for Medicare, Medicaid, like all these social programs came out of the fact that the Industrial Revolution basically disconnected the worker from the fruits of his labor. So, and then you have all these forms of government, i.e. fascism, communism, and whatever we have, that arose because you needed a system to manage it all. And really a lot of the last 100 years was managerialism.
But, right. So this next tweet I really like, because I just find it very ironic. Never underestimate the capacity for evil of sad little men with mommy issues. You know why I highlighted this tweet?
I mean, is it the grandmother dream?
No, I had never heard of that, but maybe you're right. Inadvertently. No, it's because Jordan Peterson represents the manosphere for people with daddy issues. Like, Andrew Tate is for people with mommy issues. Jordan Peterson is the daddy issues side of things. He's a self-help, you know, he's a self-help guy. He's the Oprah people, for men.
People think of him as the father they didn't have or something along these lines.
Which is really gay, by the way. But nonetheless, he has daddy issues. Look at his daughter. She has major daddy issues. I mean, his daughter is an ethot.
Just point blank. And she has the picture with Andrew Tate, and she may or may not have slept with Andrew Tate. I don't know when that was, but.
Well, there's also like,
yeah. But I think she was with her former husband during that time.
I mean, she was posting slutty pictures on the internet with her child in the background. And it's like, why would you do that? And that's before a lot of the plastic surgery, by the way, but.
In the hospital pic or whatever.
Yeah, and again, you gotta do the breastfeeding.
The nursing mother
as an opportunity to post slutty pictures online, because I don't know why women have to feel the need to do that and then say it's not sexual. It's like
you're trying to feel sexual.
You know what you're doing it. You know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Lobster City Man. This is a meme that he posted. I don't get the Lobster City part, but Air Jordan Peterson's a lobster claw instead
Top
of a Nike
lobster. Or something. Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Maybe there's a Canadian joke here. I thought Maine was the lobster state, but I don't know how that works in Canada. And I don't think they have lobsters in Ontario. So let's see. Here's another poem. Hey, new Nazi troll rats, anonymously trumpeting your anti-Semitism doesn't rescue from your mother's basement or from the demon of resentment or make you more attractive to the women who take one look at you and shudder, and rightly so, bloody. And it's just is there any more to this poem? Your despicable bottom rung cowards using Gaza, 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 Hamas, Hamas as camouflage for your detestable cluster B psychopathy. Oh, no, that's not a rhyme. Narcissism, Machiavellianism, and of course, sadism. I've got your number, you pathetic tantrum toddlers. You don't even have the courage of genuine bullies. You Cheeto dust covered, sweat stained white t-shirt hide behind your mommy's skirt scum. Disgust is wasted on you.
So he always has to keep going back to the Oedipus complex.
Maybe it feels like projection, but
and I mean, I don't even, Machiavellianism isn't even that bad.
So we got a chat coming in. This explains the lobster part. He has an extended metaphor in his 12 rules about lobsters and social dominance, relating it to how men relate to each other. Okay. Well, okay. That checks out. I'm like, I knew it wasn't the Canadian thing. And then, this was, let's see, another post along these lines. Elijah Schaefer says, Jordan Peterson's public downfall is surreal to witness. A grown, extremely wealthy, influential man now behaving like the fragile leftist he once led the charge to destroy. I mean, I think that's an overstatement. What both sides now share in common is a desire to protect their ideology rather than promote reality. And Elijah Schaefer is responding to Jordan Peterson's cowardly anonymous basement dweller, cluster B victimhood, claiming manipulative, attention-seeking, narcissistic psychopath. Say what?
I mean, even his insults are word salads.
I mean, at least Michael O'Fallon makes you have to, get out a dictionary. Michael O'Fallon using big words at least means you have to use a dictionary. With Jordan Peterson, he's just throwing it, they're not big enough words that you don't need a dictionary for.
I mean, he's so just like, point? It's like you're trying to auto-type your insults.
Meanie, meanie, bobini, feeny, something, say what? It doesn't get more adult the more you do this. And
he's also responding to Grifter Watch saying, doing a so what insult. It's like, why would you do that back to him?
He must not have much things better to do, which I'm assured I mean, Michaela Peterson said, you know, Jews aren't on here on social media because they have so much better things better to do, which isn't true, by the way. There's plenty of Jews on social media. And then
they interact with Elon Musk.
Exactly.
Well,
okay, this is the famous quote about the God thing, which I said I would play later in the video, and here we go.
The question, did that happen, begs the question, what do you mean by happen? Because when you are dealing with fundamental realities and yes. you pose a question,
yes.
you have to understand that the reality of the concepts of your question, when you're digging that deep, are just as questionable about as what you're questioning. You know, so people say to me, what do you believe in God? And I think, okay, there's a couple of mysteries in that question. What do you mean do? What do you mean you? What do you mean believe? And what do you mean God? And you say as the questioner, well, we already know what all those things mean, yep. except belief in God. And I think, no, if we're going to get down to the fundamental brass tacks, we don't really know what any of those things mean. Well, the question did that.
And it's like, no, everyone else knows exactly what that means.
It's a yes or no question. So, like, would you testify in court? Like, if someone asked you that question and you testified in court and that was your answer, they would repeat the inquiry.
They would say, you know, non-responsive and, yes. and stuff like that.
They would object to the answer.
So I do believe there's one more thing I wanted to show regarding Jordan Peterson. There was another video of his that I wanted to show because I did an article on this back in the day, but it originally got deleted. So let me pull it up. That being said, it's the last thing I have on Jordan Peterson, and here we go.
Well, you decide that by how you live.
And you're able to see.
I have seen this before.
Okay, I wrote an article about this at the time.
Jews in Israel, are you telling the greatest story ever told? Well, you decide that by how you live. And that decision will affect the world because everyone looks here for one reason or another. It's not so easy to understand. Everyone looks here to see, well, how are you actually doing under this tremendous assault of adversarial criticism? As this little tiny people in the middle of no man's land, in some real sense, as a, what would you say, cardinal model of the nation state and the city on the hill, you have a tremendous moral responsibility, like you have perhaps for your entire history. For
City on the hill was Jesus that said that first, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that has no reference in the Old Testament other than the, I guess, the presence of Jerusalem being on a hill. But every city probably would have been on a hill, just Jerusalem was more special in that regard.
Reasons that are very difficult to understand. And I think it is true in some real sense that the fate of the world depends on the decisions of the people of Israel, just as the fate of the world depends. Just as the fate of the world depends on the decision of every individual. So you make yourself a shining light on the hill, right? You attract people here because of what you're capable of doing. You show the world what the holy city. Could look like. Because we need it. We need it. And it's up to you to do it. Thank you very much.
That was cringy to watch. That was pretty cringy. So, let's see. That video, I remember writing an article on that video, and yeah, holds up. I'm glad I was able to see it again because it's been a while. The idea that he kind of broke down crying in the middle of praising people.
And you're still seeing a lot of that mindset attributed today where you have, like, I want to say it's like Nikki Haley, where, you know, the West would fall without Israel. And who parroted that last week? Was that?
I don't think it was Trump, but I believe it was someone in Trump world. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, you have this mindset that the West, the survival and the state of the West depends on the existence of Israel, which is kind of an anathema.
Given, I mean, it is a very anti-American statement, for sure. So that, I mean, is there anything else to kind of conclude? I mean, Michaela Peterson is his daughter and possibly also working his Twitter. I mean, she used his name for media fame and used his name for media fame. And then, you know, her plastic surgery as well. And then Jordan Peterson, again, very banal take of, I will not be made to use preferred pronouns, but I will use preferred pronouns if you ask me to. I just don't like being told what to do. Daddy issues. Man.
Well, I mean, it should be
daddy issues.
Thing. It should be noted that it's finally almost mainstream to talk about the fall of Peterson and just how much he has declined in quality since he became a Daily Wire shill, literally. And
yeah, because they didn't have a message for Christians and then like a message for Muslims.
Yes, he did that. And there's another, there were at least two other religions that were absent of a message for. One of them being the Hindus.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Mormons.
Oh, a message for the Mormons. Which, but, you know,
they might be mountain Jews.
You might consider them Christians, just like Mike Lee.
Oh. Yeah, that was the thing about Mike Lee. It's like, no, I got to dunk on Mike Lee for that one. But anyway.
And the other thing being the Anon accounts. Again, I've really grown to appreciate the existence of Anon accounts. I mean, going to OGC and actually meeting a bunch of people, and a lot of them had anonymous accounts. They were the Twitter Anons that gathered in person, and they did a lot of, you know, and it was, you know, a great time. Have but yeah, there's a reason they're on anonymous accounts because, again, they know they can't reveal their identities because even if you're remotely right wing, that's going to be a liability in any corporate sense, in any corporate job in corporate America.
Yeah, I mean.
Again, I bet you.
I don't operate anonymously on social media, like, but people think the Evangelical Dark Web Twitter account is anonymous, and it's like, you know, it's also interesting. More people take that one seriously, so there's an advantage to appearing anonymous.
And again, I bet
even if you aren't anonymous,
and I bet Peterson doesn't actually know a whole lot of Twitter anons, which is surprising, given that if you're doing like a conference and you're meeting the fans or whatever, and a lot of those fans might be young men. It's surprising that you don't know a whole lot of Anons or you've never met a lot of Anons, because that's the only reason you'd have that position is if you just don't know any Anons.
Man, so I'm curious what should be included in our miscellaneous segment, because otherwise we got some memes for meme review. Let's do this video, and it comes from Protestia, and I just kind of want to like share it because this is one of those things you do not know where it is going, and I want to kind of get your reaction. I wrote an article about this at the time. This is from May, by the way, and I thought this was interesting. I wanted to put it on a live stream one time, but you know, there wasn't really a chance for this, and this article has a predictable story, but I think it fits in with a lot of what the themes of tonight. So here's your challenge in the audience: try and guess where this is going.
Yes. So pretty much about me is that I grew up in a small town called Yuba City. It's in Northern California. And then fast forward, I went to Bible school where actually I felt the call to ministry, actually to become evangelist. And the first day I saw my husband, I just told him, "You're going to be my best friend." I just blurted out because a week later of knowing each other, we just knew we were in for the long haul and we were going to get married. And it, 4 years later, just because we are Asian, so our parents said you have to do school first before you get married.
Your mom.
Yeah. So we totally followed it. We graduated and we got married.
Yeah, that's how we met. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, we met in Bible college. Now, how the heck did you land in porn?
Yeah.
That's the question of the hour.
So I would probably say when I guess when we first moved to San Diego, we're looking for a job, and we got hit hard with the 08-09 crash. And so I was on Craigslist and I was looking for a job, and I saw work at home and make good money a week. And I landed on webcamming, and that kind of slowly.
That's a Andrew Tate kind of recruitment tool, right?
It's such a wholesome beginning too. Like, yeah, an Asian couple. Their parents were so happy because, you know,
he's not Asian.
He's not? I thought you said he was.
Steven De La Cruz.
Oh, sorry. Mexican. Sorry.
Really opened the door. I did really, really well on Flirt for Free. That was my first website that I was on. And I did so well that years later on, I said, I want to actually take it to the next level. I want to get into porn. And I asked my husband about it, and I was like, what do you think? And how was your response to it when I asked?
Well, you know, we've been kinky couple.
Yeah.
Even back in freshman year in college.
Yeah.
So I definitely am not opposed to the lifestyle, but we're pastors.
Yeah.
We went to college to go and be ministers. Like, that was the weird thing about it, is the aspect of that is who we were. We were ministers. We were Christian. We were religious.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait, how the heck are we going to go ahead and justify what we're doing?
Oh, yeah.
And so
I like how that part was when they're like, how the heck are we going to justify what we're doing? It wasn't like before the chatterbait.
Now, you know what that guy's background is? Or you know where that guy is now?
Jail. Who would have guessed? CP?
CA. Or CSA, if you want to be more clear. I think he diddled his sister or something like that. So, yeah. EB says, physiognomy fail, and yes.
Physiognomy is a real science.
More real than biological evolution. It is more real than Darwinian evolution.
I even saw an advertisement. I guess it's like how they have like the shirt models for the Biden campaign's like website, and it's like they even have fat women as like the t-shirt models.
That is obviously to be expected of a Joe Biden campaign. Let's see. I think we're ready for meme review. I don't want to go too long tonight. Let me get things set up. Let's do some meme review. And this is brought to you by no one because we don't have any sponsors. But it is brought to you by me, Biding Time. And here we go. This is one I found off the internet. And I just said me watching the Gladiator 2 trailer because that trailer sucked.
Yeah, it was.
There were two cool things that might be good in that movie. One, the mock naval battles.
Which is real, but I don't know if they did those at that time in Roman history, which Gladiator movies were known for, or Gladiator was known for its
Ridley accuracy. Scott. Not that Ridley Scott is known for his historical accuracy, but at least Gladiator, while not being a historically accurate movie, is compelling. It is compelling narrative.
It's an epic, so it can get away with certain liberties.
Right. Now, a story about Napoleon cannot, and other things. So, me watching Gladiator True trailer, and if you've seen The Sopranos, you get this. That is Ralph Cifaretto saying, they didn't have hip-hop in ancient Rome. And I believe the original line is, they didn't have flat tops in ancient Rome. He's referring to a hairstyle. But in this scene in The Sopranos, he is watching the movie Gladiator, because Ralph Cifaretto is obsessed with the movie Gladiator, which came out around the time that this show aired. All right. Dylan says he will sponsor this meme review. And I thank you, sir.
Yes.
There's no way.
Is Ralph Cifaretto a legend on Sopranos? Like, yeah.
I
dig Sopranos memes. This one I made this morning.
Okay, so you made this one. Owen Strand, look, Patrick, we fulfilled the Great Commission. And, you know, I love a SpongeBob meme. And this has to do with the fact that Owen Strand seems to be treating bringing in third world immigrants as fulfilling the Great Commission. And, you know, if he didn't have me blocked, I could get more context on what he's trying to say. But
that's pretty much it. I mean, yeah, we have to. It's not go out to the nations. It's the nations go out to you.
You know, so, it's like a two-way petting zoo, as Cosmo Kramer once joked about, you know, that animals pet you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't care what happens to your society, but you feel good because you have all these opportunities to fulfill the Great Commission, as, you know, women are being, you know, assaulted.
This one was just an evergreen image that I wanted to save. This enormous woman will devour us all. I want to save that because I feel like that's an excellent troll reply image. And this one I really liked. Imagine being 34 never in a serious relationship and childless while LARPing as a teenager. And it's Taylor Swift doing the "How do you do, fellow kids?" Steve Buscemi.
I saw this and liked it.
I mean, again, these memes go back through June. They go back since the last time we did a meme review, which was apparently before the Southern Baptist Convention. So, how do you do, fellow kids? I mean, this one was absolutely excellent. This one comes from Natural Law Theonomous at Guy Jones 1111 1111. And it's a Westminster Confession of Faith. So Presbyterians drowning in Anabaptists. And then a Giga Chat says, "Stop." And, you know, they're London Baptist Confession of Faith. So they're Reformed Baptists. "We got this." And they proceed to drown the Anabaptists in the
puddle.
I thought that was hilarious. And he says, "Don't worry, Anabaptists. We won't let the Presbys get you." This one is pretty much an evergreen meme. Another SpongeBob meme. It is it's from the episode where SpongeBob and Patrick lock themselves in Sandy's dome, tree dome, during her winter while she's hibernating. And so it's snowing inside the tree dome. And it's like, they're trying to get out because it's super cold. And, you know, Patrick's like, "Let me have a try. Imagine if the roles were reversed." And he's like, "Well, I've done all I can." I think that's an excellent commentary on conservatives.
Yeah, I mean,
imagine if the roles were reversed and that's all they do.
Or it's just, you know, libs of TikTok exposing. I mean, how many people were retweeting, like, I won't say, like, you know, actual gay porn, but, you know, let's retweet a video of a guy getting, you know, urinated on in San Francisco at a pride parade.
That's what that video was supposed to be. I've successfully avoided it.
So. Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, don't retweet that stuff. Don't post it.
We don't want to post golden showers.
We don't want to spread like actual adult content. Like, come on, people.
And this one comes from Nick Storm. The Moscow needed. Mood, and, you know, it was the bus crossing the railroad track, and the white boy summer is the train.
Yeah, we needed this. That was such a horrible take by
From June 12th, by the way.
Yes, which one of the cross politics guys made that? But yeah, just arguing against white boys.
I think GM Wrench.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. But that was such a needless argument at the time. Of, let me just pick a fight on people that are enjoying life. And, you know, white boy summer's been a thing. It was a thing before 2021. And it's actually a good thing. Like, the idea of having fraternal culture, you know, has an emphasis in outdoorsy type stuff. It was such a horrible take of something that's actually making culture. And this is why we can't make cultures, because you have people crapping on white boy summer.
This one comes from Mr. Beatitudes at bear_of_logress. What did you tell Audrey Hale, Vanderbilt? And it's the goose chasing the person. I love this meme because I love the drawing of that goose. You know, I love that drawing. What did you tell Audrey Hale, Vanderbilt, and it had to do with Vanderbilt University Medical Center and their involvement in what led to six people dying at a Christian school. So,
yep, never forget.
Never forget. And Brent Leatherwood has apparently successfully defended the release of the Tranifesto on copyright grounds, if you can believe that. Which, theoretically, with copyright, it's not a trade secret, so it has to be public in order to be copyrighted. But, you know. And then this one comes from Rhett Koppel. White boy summer is... Summer's the devil. And that's Bobby Boucher's mom from The Waterboy. And this is the scene, you know, where Bobby Boucher stands up to his mama. And he's like, I like White Boy Summer, and it likes me back, and it showed me its memes, and I like them too.
That's how that scene happened, right?
That is exactly how that scene happened in the movie. That's just a quote from The Office. I think I just saved that for reasons. This one is from Bob Based. Sheep at Baba Based. Their hypocrisy is astounding. They have a blind spot the size of Vatican City, and it shows. It's a meme. I don't know what the origin of this meme is, but it is basically the Groypers ignoring the fact that the Pope also prayed at the Western Wall. So
yeah, I mean, there has to be a better delivery.
No, you're not a fan of the meme template, right?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the meme template.
This one is from Lim Nicky. I bet he's thinking of the Roman Empire. And then he's actually thinking of how come they never told us what books the Germans burned. I believe this is our last book. It's from meme. It's from Sam Riley, and it's another SpongeBob meme, because I have a soft spot for SpongeBob memes. It is the episode where Sandy Cheeks is homesick, and they're trying to chase her. They're trying to get her to come with them to the Krusty Krab for a surprise party, but you know they end up just making her, you know, provoking her, and then you know running for their lives, and it's like. She's angry. She's the abolitionist. The normie pro-lifers are SpongeBob and Patrick running. Patrick is lassoed and becomes an abolitionist in a mushroom cloud, which scares the other normie pro-lifer.
I mean,
that's an abolitionist meme.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, there is probably a longer conversation to be had on the nature and methods of the abortion abolitionist.
See, I don't think they're that bad. Like, I get that people are mad at them, but like, they're actually more politically active than the people that are mad at them on average. So they get too much flack as far as I'm concerned. And people's standards are too low and stuff like that. So I'm not of the mindset that we need to continually settle for mediocrity, but that's just me. So,
I mean, I don't buy the theological argument that tolerating some abortion is inherent to approving it, or not being able to outlaw all abortion at once is sinful because you're tolerating some, or I should say like voting for the heartbeat bill is sinful because you're still tolerating some. I just don't buy that as a theological argument, nor do I buy the use of slavery as a comparable as. That was
I don't think slavery in a
and that's their only example they can point to
abolition
versus being resolute on abolition versus being incremental in approach,
right? And slavery is not morally comparable to abortion, so you know conservative circles for years, and it's always been pretty bad, but. Anyway, that concludes our meme review. Now, I don't really have any more content for tonight. Anything you want to plug before we head on out?
I've got some things in the works. Maybe I'll write the article on the abolitionists at some point over the weekend and detailing that more thoroughly. But that's on the back burner of my mind.
All righty.
And Biden did not resign during his press conference tonight. So we got more fun to, or not fun to have with that.
But Biden's not going to resign. He's going to reconsolidate power, and there will maybe be some heads metaphorically rolling as a result of coming at the king and missing. So even if the king is rolling, it's like people aren't going to take a reshuffling on the deck. You know, the people that are next to Joe Biden aren't going to give that up. They're as close to the presidency as they've ever been in their life. They're not going to risk giving that up. So I'll do a last call for questions, and which I meant to have done. See, I'm out of the flow. It's been a few weeks, and then this is what happens when it's a few weeks when you live stream. You forget to do a last call for questions. So that being said, a couple things that, you know, I want to do with the Republican Party platform. I was like, what would a Christian nationalist platform be? And I've been trying to compile, like, what would the planks of said platform be? And I have like 11 items down so far. I'm trying to avoid the number 25 because that would invite comparisons to a certain National Socialist German Workers' Party that I don't want to have the same amount of planks as them, because that, you know, no, you might draw a comparison.
Yeah.
But, oh, wait. One last thing. I looked up the Jordan Peterson thing, and it is disgusting.
Yeah, so the grandmother quote?
Yes. It is disgusting. It is borderline pornographic. Jordan Peterson is a dirty bird.
Like horny jail?
Yes, bonk. I hereby bonk Jordan Peterson and sentence him to horny jail. That was disgusting. Well, why did he write that? Why did his publisher or ghostwriter write that or not tell him to take that out? I hereby bonk him. And I don't even want to know the further context of that quote. So, that being said, you can support Evangelical Dark Web at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. We have a Patreon-like system and upcoming book. I already gave the update on that. Ball's in my court now, and I'm working hard on this. I'm working hard at getting the edits done. I'll hopefully be done that this weekend. And then hopefully we'll have a release date, and that's going to move more smoothly. I do want to get more guests on the live streams. Going to reach out to some people, see who we can get on. But other than that, that's all I got for today. Stay based, Christ is King, and we will catch you on the next one.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits apply to for 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits apply to for 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.